Thank you so much, BBS Radio, for making this possible for us to have this live broadcast. It is Wednesday, May 31st, 2017. And this is not the only May present. We also have May from Concord with us. Hello, May.
Thank you, hi. Thank you for being here.
All right. Good to have you. Thank you for being here.
You're very welcome.
Right. And I'm another good to have you. So another Wednesday call, meaning if you have questions, we have answers. You can submit your questions online or email to win. And we just had a song from, we heard from the Eagles live. I love that song. But I'll play another little tune, and as soon as somebody else comes in, we are getting close to the hour, I will turn the music off. Thank you all for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Yes, good evening. This is Pat in Sacramento.
Hello, Pat. You're my neighbor almost. Welcome to the call tonight.
I would love to be your neighbor.
I live near Chico in Paradise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not too far.
Not too far, no. Hey, thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. And welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Good evening, Heis. It's Cleo from Connecticut.
Good evening to you, Cleo. Thank you for being here. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic, thank you.
Good.
And I welcome all those that are listening in through BBS Radio online. Thank you for participating this evening. Another Q&A call. If you have questions, we have answers. If you have a question, you can submit it per email to win. I should have the email address in front of me. And I do somewhere in my stack. It is intelligence-infinity. Am I saying it right?
Questions at quest@intelligentinfinity.com.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Damananda. Yeah, got it. And I confirm, questions@intelligent-infinity.com if you have questions. I'm so glad to know that Terry is doing so much better. It is so awesome to see this turnaround and seeing Kimberly involved. It was great to have her on the call the other day. Mm. And I think it's something beautiful that's blooming out of whole Terry, her ordeal with first doing a step backward and now she's jumping forward.
Right.
Yep.
Talking about jumping forward, I wonder how she's doing on her trampoline.
You might see
trampoline now.
Oh, yeah. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. We welcome you. You don't have to say a name, but we are glad that you are calling in. As far as I know, we're here with May and Dharmananda, Pat and Cleo, and myself, and we are live on BBS Radio. And it is 6 o'clock, so we wait for Wynn to become here present shortly.
Crowd tonight.
It's a low crowd. Ben hasn't had much time to send out the emails, the announcements for the calls to his the group. And I know when that's not happening, then people come in later or lesser people come in. But I'm glad you are here.
Yeah.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference. Name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Good evening to you, Roger. Welcome to the call.
Good evening, everybody.
Well, joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Welcome, Jane. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Thank you.
And who else
joined in? Seems like deja vu all over again. Positive greetings, Braden.
Well, yeah, welcome, Braden. Good to have you.
Good to have you.
And somebody else joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Terry in Dallas.
I heard Terry in Dallas. Welcome. Good evening, Terry. Welcome.
Thank you.
And the other lady?
Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. I thank you very much for being here. And welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, everyone. It's Susan in Virginia.
Welcome to the call. I didn't hear your name. In Virginia?
Yes.
What's your name?
Susan.
Oh, hi, Susan.
Hi.
You sound way in the background. You sound high up in the mountains.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Let's see. May?
Yes?
Will you greet? Oh, we have somebody else. And you're welcome to the call, please. Oh, somebody dropped out, I guess.
I can greet.
Will you please do that and give Vin a call?
I can do that.
So much.
John from Las Vegas.
Hi, John. Welcome to the call. This is May.
Hi, May.
Trying to get a hold of Vin.
Hi.
Are you going to see Kimberly?
Who, me or?
You. John, from Las Vegas.
Yeah, probably will. Probably after next month, saw that, because I have to worry about the money first. I have to work rent and stuff like that first.
I understand. Good evening. Welcome to Wednesday Night Call. Would you like to announce yourself?
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don. Welcome.
Thanks.
So Kimberly has those group sessions for $35, and she might call on you.
Oh, where are the group sessions?
L.A. Look on a website. It's all on there.
Oh, okay.
And also on her website, she has a lot of videos that are actually on YouTube, but it's really fabulous to see her doing her work.
Ah, oh, great. Thank you for that information, both of you.
You're welcome.
Vin will be here shortly.
Okay. Would you like me to continue to greet, or would you like to greet?
If you want to do it, go ahead.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you, May.
Our pleasure.
Is helicopter running out of gas?
He's not going to have a helicopter. That's why it's taking so long.
Oh.
He's walking.
He's coming in on pogo stick.
He's going to be flying in one of those lawn chairs, you know, where the guy puts the lawnmower motor on or something.
Ah. Good evening. Welcome to Wednesday Night Call. Would you like to announce yourself?
Melissa in California. Hello.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi. Thank you.
Who else is there?
This is Terry in Phoenix.
Oh, welcome, Terry. Are you jumping on your trampoline yet?
No. Got to get home.
Oh, you're not home? Oh, Phoenix.
We're in Phoenix, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. How did the show go?
Pretty good.
Good. And you're feeling well?
Much better.
And you're drinking water? Are you?
Hold on. 534169 pounds. Yeah.
You're multitasking. You must be feeling better.
Yeah. 534169 pound.
Pound, pound, pound.
Hello?
Hi, Ren.
Hello?
It's all Terry's fault. I want you guys to know.
Yeah, we know. It's all Terry's fault. Welcome
all
to
right.
the Ben.
Welcome
I'm glad
to
you could
call.
Make
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, we're having an exciting time. And we are just driving out.
Morning, Ren.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Lines.
This conference is being recorded.
May 31st.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And you got questions, we got answers. Actually, we don't got them. They got them. And hi, are we okay? Is there too much background noise? I'm in the car.
I heard a little bit of wind, but I'll keep you posted. It's not too bad.
The air conditioner's on, so it probably blows a little bit, but Terry shut the door. And who is that? Who's coming on the call? Excuse me, I should say it in a much more polite way. Would you like to say your name and your city, please?
We are muted, then.
Oh, we're muted. No wonder, forget it. You're too late. You're too late.
Right. Your ding was heard. Thank you.
We heard your ding. So, speaking of dings, we were in a hotel last night, and we're watching television. Now, I don't watch television. I wouldn't even turn it on, but believe it or not, Terry turns it on. Because it helps her. What does it help you do?
See what's going on in the world.
See what's going on in the world. And so Terry got to watch some of the comics. And what did you think of the comics, Terry?
Gross.
I mean, when I was younger, I used to think Richard Pryor was gross. And who else? Lenny Bruce was gross, right? And, I mean, these guys were beyond gross. They were gross crude, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't even humor in their jokes. It was just like, ugh. Well, in any case, don't watch them. Now I'm going to tell everyone, now everyone's going to want to watch them, okay? Because I talked about it.
It's true, I believe. I don't think it's a good thing to watch.
No, I don't think it is. But, you know, Terry just says, no, we didn't have humor like this when I used to be a nun. Right?
What?
So they didn't have humor like that when you used to be a nun.
That wasn't humor.
Right. Well, I don't think so either, okay? People laughed, so somebody thought it was funny, you know?
Yeah, well, funny is something maybe unacceptable, and this was certainly unacceptable to the 10th
grade. I mean, it was disrespectful. Disrespectful.
Yeah. Disrespectful.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
You guys are coming in through the same microphone, right?
No.
Say that again?
You're both coming in through the same mic right now. So I don't hear Terry's phone line, apparently.
Well, is Terry sound weak?
Yes.
Compared to me?
Yes, and weak in the background, kind of.
Well, I'll move my mic closer. But I have an echo.
You're probably muted.
I'm muted. No wonder.
All right.
So I'll try to mute me. So when I talk and ask a question, I'll mute myself afterwards, and Terry will be unmuted.
As long as you don't forget to unmute yourself.
Yeah, I'm sure glad that we got into the habit of being unprofessional, because we would have never made it otherwise. or should I say, we're not really unprofessional. We're really not. It's just that we make our way of being part of the flow. So it's entertaining.
Do I have an echo now? I have an echo.
Well, no, no, wait a second. Wait. Now try.
Now, do I have an echo? No.
No, not. What but you know, the echo is not when you don't speak.
The echo is when my phone is unmuted.
Oh.
So you don't have to leave.
Let me go outside the car and I'll sit down and sit down.
No.
You're driving 60 miles an hour. Wait.
Terry, I'll just keep muting myself so that you won't have an echo. And Hive will mute it. Come on.
That's okay.
Where are you
going to
go?
Right there.
All right. She's going to sit on
the park. There's a beautiful chair outside here.
You see, if we were doing this on a webinar, I'd like take a picture of Terry out the window and sitting on the chair. Okay. All right, let's get started. Thank you guys for your patience. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And if we have our sources present, perhaps they could introduce themselves.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We take a moment to orient ourselves to the new surroundings. Different locations have different GPSs. They have different feelings. They have different ways of connecting. The medium from connection with the planets are slightly different. The location between people is different, slightly. And we greet each and every one of you. We are happy to be with you. And if we ever say anything that does not resonate with you, it is not meant for you at that time, so disregard it. And we love each and every one of you. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. And the first question is from, just a moment, from Anna in Connecticut. And or Ann in
it
Connecticut.
Is getting dark or dark? In Connecticut.
Getting darker in Connecticut, right. It's already dark, probably.
Yes.
And Ann has a question about the previous question she asked about her horse, which
your horse is like a human being. It is very, very intelligent, and it felt when it was with you like it was home, like for the first time in its life it had a buddy, a partner. And it misses you greatly. If you could go talk to it sometimes and let it know that
you love it and you are trying the best you know for the horse and for the horse to be brave, and that because you are distant from it, you still love it as much as you always did, and maybe even more now because you really miss it. What is your question?
Well, obviously she thinks that it's possible for you to change Tate or her decisions already, which I don't know, I don't think it is, but it could be possible, you know, that some kind of synchronicity can come up. But she asks, she's wondering if there ever will be a time when I can bring this precious horse back into my life. I think he considered my home to be his home. Things still seem so challenging. As it has been suggested that I need hip replacement surgery, which I'm determined to avoid with a groundbreaking dietary supplementary program. But after that, is there any chance that I would or should get my horse back? Thank you for your wisdom, and thanks for the spirit for sending me a wonderful birthday gift on May 28th of a visit by a beautiful Luna moth who kept me company late that night while doing barn chores and truly made my heart sing. Anne in Connecticut.
You made his heart sing also. You made your horse's heart sing. when you talked to him and you, what you say, he's very intelligent, and he can get what you are saying. And he comprehends. And if you can just talk to him, and if he doesn't...
Now, are you talking about the moth or the horse?
No, we're talking about the horse.
Well, she was talking about a moth that kept her company when she was cleaning her barn. So I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. This is you. It's like, and your good feeling projecting out and is felt by the moth. Would you like to repeat the question?
Vin can't hear you.
Yeah. The question here is there any chance that I would or should get the horse back?
Yes, what we are saying concerning the horse is you already have the horse in your field of consciousness. Your horse already feels home with you. If you can explain to the horse that he is in your heart and you have him home within your heart, and it is a feeling that you can pull in, you can get, that everything is okay with you and your horse, and you we see the disconnection of distance between you and your horse, but you can, in the other world, the other side, merge the two fields. And your horse can be with you. It is possible that you, by starting in that manner, having your
course with you in your mind, in your consciousness, and talking to him if you get a chance to see him, then that closeness will eventually draw you back together.
Thank you. Next question. This is from Edna. And she says, sometimes when someone dies, he or she hovers in the astral for a while, and some will work as guides to people in bodies here on Earth. Could the source comment when a soul is considered to be a ghost and a guide? Do all the souls hovering in the astral know why they are there? How about the ghosts?
Thank you. They do not know why they are there. Many are confused and do not know quite what has happened to them. They are in the astral and they haven't figured it out. They talk to people and the people don't hear them. They don't answer. They are missing the choice to move to a higher frequency, to move into the heavenly realm. They are locked in to the their density, the world around them, and they are unwilling to unlock or to let it go and to move to the higher frequency of heaven. That's one of the purposes of the tunnel of light, is to help move them higher in frequency, to help them move into the heavenly realm. If they can let go of their life in the third density, they can free themselves up to move to the higher frequency and can move into the heavenly realm. The tunnel of light is one of the things that can help them move in higher frequency and to propel them to the upper realms.
Thank you. And then Edna adds, I would like to thank our sources for all the protection that my daughter and I are having while traveling across the country. And
yes.
Next is from Dharmananda. Now, I like to make this a generic question rather than a specific question. Dharmananda talks about someone who wants him to believe that he is the Messiah. And I'm still wondering if this might be true. Now, you know, in all of our work up till now, it's been indicated that the Messiah term was something come up by the Anunnaki. And even Terry Friedman had said that Jesus told his disciples, don't tell people I'm the Messiah. So if somebody walks around saying they are the Messiah, then I would immediately question it, because just from everything we said before, that's not going to happen. And if somebody wants you to give up their power to them, that is, you know, in the traditional sense, the Messiah is who you would yield to, give up your power to. And it's not my experience that God does not want us to give up our power. God wants us to be empowered, and in the best case scenario, we're empowered and we're loving people. And in a worst case scenario, we're empowered and we're controlling people. But nonetheless, that's the way of the world. So the question is, when we meet somebody who claims to be the Messiah, how should we respond?
Thank you. The answer lies in the article before the word Messiah, the Messiah. A Messiah is a leader in opinion, in saving of souls, of the leader of the people to lead them out of problems and difficulties. The Messiah indicates one. There are various degrees of messiahism where one is viewed as a messiah by someone or is acting as a messiah. We say a messiah by the individual acts that they do that influences others that save them. So in the general sense of the word, there is a great difference between a Messiah and the Messiah. Yeah.
Vin, can hear you.
If you happen to deliver someone out of a huge problem in their life and bring them something, it's a spiritual solution, and perhaps even a non-spiritual solution, you might be a Messiah for that person. A Messiah being a deliverer, okay? Now, there's no indication that there's supposed to be the Messiah who would deliver mankind, okay? Probably there's people in our group that would say they were delivered by whatever happened that we do here. But we're not messiahs. We're just spiritual contributors.
And messengers,
thank you. And you can do that for someone as well. If you start calling yourself the Messiah, you're going on an ego trip, and you're probably on a downward spiral, okay? Probably. But thank you for the question. Dharmananda, it's a waste of time trying to convince him that he's not what he's telling you he is. It's not anything to focus on. That's my experience, okay? It's like there's a lot of things that you can get sucked into with people that are a waste of time because they're not going to change in most cases, okay? Okay, next question from Rich Buckley. And the question is, what is the Trinity? I've read a bundle of definitions over the years. There seems to be an important relationship amongst the law of one, the Trinity of three, but what? Are humans the same as the Son in Father, Son, Holy Ghost? And what is the Holy Ghost? Seems to me we've covered this at various times in, you know, the missing piece of the puzzle has something to do with the Ra group, who was holding the energy for the Christ consciousness. And but let me not say any more than that. Let our sources answer the question. The question again is, what is the Trinity? What is the Trinity? And traditionally in Christianity, the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Is there a better way to understand it without going into a religious paradigm? Thank you.
The Father is God, our Father who art in heaven, God. The Holy Ghost is an energy, an awareness, aliveness that can come to visit you, can be with you, can be a guide for you, can help heal you. It is a bridge between the Father and the Son being Jesus. The Father, God, the Holy Ghost, the bridge, the energy that brings the healing, that brings the word, that brings the love of God, and the Son, which is a messenger, which carries the message from God as portrayed to the Holy Ghost. Thank you.
If we were going to relate the Holy Ghost and the Father to the Ra group, how would that translate?
The Father is the Father. It is not the Ra group. The Holy Ghost is magnified by affection and frequency in the Robert. It is a relay point, a relay street, relay station to magnify and to broadcast and to be available to people the energy of the Holy Ghost. It is a relay station within the Ra group for the energy of the Holy Ghost, which is a bridge between God and the Son and between the people on earth.
Thank you. I'd like to ask a general question. I'm kind of taking Bonnie's question and turn it into a more general question. Can you tell us a little bit about the Essenes? Historically, the Essenes were a group that lived in caves in and around the place where Jesus was born, probably Jerusalem, and they were connected with Jesus. And I believe people say they helped train Jesus when he was young, for setting him up for his mission. And can you give us an inside look as to more about the Essenes?
Thank you. They were setting the stage for Jesus to come in, making the background, making the paradigm where Jesus could learn and step into. They were a group of people that had rigorous training of the mind and of the body, and we're promoting the laws of God's laws. We're promoting a spirit availability for the setting for Jesus and support for Jesus and the people who would follow Jesus. They were very committed to the advancement of mankind, the development, not technologically, but spiritually, providing a foundation for the Christian scenario.
Now, the Essenes were fairly isolated. They were living in caves, as I understand, when they were prior to Jesus. Where did they come from originally?
They came from Egypt, and they talked to people as they came and added people from wherever they were, people of a mind, to join to people of a similar mind that could talk to each other and build upon the ideas of Christianity-type beliefs.
Was there a connection with Akhenaten or with Moses?
Yes.
Both or one?
Both.
Could you share more of the connection?
Akhenaten was more distant. He set a stage for the one infinite creator, the law of one. And his teachings were picked up and promoted you probably have the question if Akhenaten and Moses were the same person. We do not see that they were in the same body, but they were very definitely connected. One admired the other. They were part of the links connected to the Essene group and the concepts built, and made a platform for Christianity.
Thank you. And finally, one more question. Are there many Essenes that are incarnate right now that, if there are, there probably are. Some have no memory, but they're dedicated to service, and some perhaps are having the memory of their Essene background. Can you share something about that?
As they have reincarnated, they have been in their future lives influenced by the Essene Brotherhood. the ones that reincarnated that were Essenes are very committed, although the change of lifetime after lifetime has nulled out their commitment in the form that it originally started. And they have, to some degree, modified their views based upon their childhood and their training in future lives. Many have become religious figures that promoted and stuck to what the Essenes taught.
Bean can't hear you.
Helen didn't ask, thank you, Heiss. Helen didn't ask this overtly, but if I have a feeling she's thinking it. If you feel clear to answer it, does she happen to have Essene origins?
For you to think of the question, take a look at that. People have suspicions of who they may have been, and we do see the track, and we are revivifying some of that track for you to take a look for yourself.
Thank you. Usually when somebody gets really fascinated and preoccupied with something historically, they oftentimes have, more times than not, every time I've looked at it, have track in that area.
That's correct.
For example, if somebody is really interested about Egypt, if somebody is really interested about Greece, you know, they're studying it, whatever. So when you have interest, take that as a signal that perhaps you have a lifetime there. But
yes.
don't make it a preoccupation. Learn from it. The truth of the matter is, whatever you were in the past is the past. And you can sometimes learn from it. But if you start to identify with it, or if you try to repeat it in this life, it becomes a corruption of some sort because you can't repeat the past. This is, every moment is its own creation. You can't even repeat the past in this lifetime. The things that you were going through 10 years ago, you're not going through now. So don't get so preoccupied with past lifetimes that it keeps you out of the present. The real advantage of it is learning about some of the inner tracks that might be impacting you now that you were not aware of previously, and maybe talents that you had that you could call on once again. So, do you guys want to add anything to that, are those comments I made?
Thank you. It is possible for you to be in the present and to look at the past as much as it is possible for you to go to a movie and be in the present, but enter into the story of the movie and watch it and enjoy it and learn from it. You might even, as you review your past, see it in color video form of what it was, and yet you are in the present viewing what is past.
Thank you. There was one time when through Daphne, a voice identified itself that was a past incarnation of hers.
Yes.
And when I asked about it, they said the fragments of all of our past incarnations exist concurrently right now, and that I was talking to the fragment of her incarnation in the past. And I didn't quite wrap myself around that. Does that fragment still have a consciousness? Is the consciousness still attached to the present person?
It is revivified. It is a past that is like a frame of a movie that when you shine the light through that frame, it brings it into play and you can see it very clearly. However, before you watched it, it may not have been visible. A past is able to be reconstructed and to be viewed and to come up like a memory of being 3 years old, something that happened at three, suddenly something in the present reminds you of that, and there's just a brief flashback, and the even visually it might flash before your eyes, and it can be in color. It could be, say, the vision of a winter hat with white and different colors on it. Jim is calling right now.
Thank you. So, next question. This is from...
Anyone source listening to Terry? I think she's answering the phone.
I'll tell you, sir. She's already answering.
This is Terry. I didn't answer. I guess she forgot we were on the air.
Can you get back in, Terry? We got another question.
Yeah. I'm going to... Can we unplug your phone and plug mine in? Because it... getting pretty low on charge. We're getting a new battery for my phone because this one, it doesn't hold charge very well.
Yeah, can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Don't confess all the things about your phone because it's embarrassing. This is for like 2 years. It's a preoccupation. It's an ongoing preoccupation. Don't make it any worse by telling people about getting a new battery.
Okay, we're going back into channeling mode.
Okay. This is from Bonnie in Corona. I rarely miss a call, and I'm frequently out and about when participating on a call or a whole planet healing, and enjoy the challenge and practice of connecting with and upholding the very high vibrations associated with our sources. The tricky part, of course, is doing this in and around public places where there's noise and the occasional interruption by others. I like to think that I am anchoring the vibes to the benefit of the space I am occupying at the time.
Yes, yes.
I am here, I am honored, and I and my Father are one. Would the sources please comment on holding the very fine energy in denser surroundings and then giving it to others? Of course, we're doing that right now. We are sitting outside of the Olive Garden watching a lady with her flowers, talking to a lady and a guy, people going in and out. And even though we're channeling the Elohim, Terry is here. And we have our energy planted here. So let me turn it over to our sources to address Bonnie's question.
Yes, it is possible to connect with the higher sources in a lower surrounding and can bring it in at will. One can be in both modes at the same time. And when you do that, it brings the image of the higher vibrations in to the lower vibrations and helps to fortify and modify the lower vibrations and bring in the frequencies of the higher vibrations and bring the whole atmosphere of time more cheerful, more loving, more in harmony.
Is that your answer?
Yes.
One time it was suggested that when we do our Sunday healing sessions, that people go out to public places and be on the call Sunday morning from a public place. So instead of just anchoring the energy in your own abode, you're anchoring it in a place where other people are walking through it and lifting the vibrations of other people. Could you comment on that?
That is a very good thing to do. We, as a group, have done it in the past where, say, one person may be on top of Mount Shasta and another person may be by the seashore, and it does make for a very strong call and a fortification that makes things, the frequencies, the combination stronger.
Thank you. All right, we are going to bring this session to a close. Thank you
for
being here. Who has another question? Somebody else. I don't know if I want to take it, but
okay. What do you want to do?
Say what it is, okay? And then I'll say. We only have 1 minute.
From Elizabeth.
You got a healing from Elizabeth, okay? That's the one you were sent.
Who is this?
I understood that Mananda say talking about his back being healed.
Yeah, but my hips are still hurting bad, really bad, and I was just wondering if the hips are going to heal from that healing.
I think you got to ask it next week, okay? We're out of time. Ask it next week. And, I don't like to take inventory on other healers, I don't have to take inventory on anyone, as a matter of fact. Everyone's doing their thing. But in terms of Kimberly, I had a personal experience. I was sure, I had a pretty strong conviction, there was nothing negative in her thing, in what she does. But I can tell you that with respect to what's called radionics or psychic healing, which a number of people do, I have gotten cautions about that. That doesn't mean it doesn't work for some people. But the caution was that sometimes grays travel in the psychic waves. That's specifically what they said. And you have to be really careful who does it, because the person who's doing the healing has no knowledge that that's taking place. And they can be perfectly seeming cool, but there's something distorted in using the psychic energy, okay, to transmit healing over psychic energy. And it's probably different than the Holy Spirit. But it's tricky, because they could also be Christian. They could also say the name Jesus. That doesn't mean they are, or they're getting it. I think we're doing the Holy Spirit on these calls. I think you guys feel the energy of it, and it's a good reference point. You notice there's a lot of transparency here. There's never trying to build anything up about anything. And there's these energies that are very positive that travel on the call. So that's a reference point. Otherwise, I don't want to be taking anyone's inventory. And people ask me to do that sometimes. And this is where you need to do your own discernment, okay?
Right. When you look into your own body, your body will tell you whether it is doing better. Is the pain in your hips a result of a gap or a difference between what has been healed and what is still to be healed? Did the healing change the positioning of the hips, so now they're under more pressure and they need to heal more? Take your inventory and use your own discernment to see the effectiveness of that healing on your body.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to end this call, and we're going to go right over to Whole Planet Healing right now. Thank you all for your questions and for your participation. And
thanks to our sources, to Terry and Wynn, and also Akhenaten. Thanks, everyone. The grid heal, or the Whole Planet Healing call will be at 712-770-4340. Access code 250513.